Sodom and Gomorrah. Places that I've already known in history, the judgment of God. Yet God in his mercy sends the prophet to speak to them, to turn them away from their sin. It's interesting because as I hear those remarks, they are so simple. Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Put them away. Get rid of them. Cease doing evil. Right? Stop doing evil things. Learn to do the good. Make justice your aim. Redress the wrong. Hear the orphan's plea and defend the widow. I mean, everything about that, it seems so simple and obvious. And yet, you and I both know. Often easier said than done. He's not asking them to move mountains. He's asking them to act in accordance with who he created them to be, in his image and likeness. He's giving them to example. He's warning them. Why? Because he hates them? No, because he loves them. He sends the prophet to them to speak to them a warning because he loves them. He just says, stop doing this evil, would you please? And would you do the simple things of responding to the good of who I've created you to be? You get to the gospel text, and we see the professionals of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees, the professionals. They know them all. It's a very, what's the word? People today in our cynicism, that's the word, cynicism, big word. People today in our cynicism about life, it doesn't matter whether you are guilty or you're innocent, it matters how good of a lawyer you get. Have you heard that? It matters not if you're innocent or guilty. You just need a good lawyer. So pay for a good lawyer and you'll be fine. The ability to manipulate law, to do whatever the heck you want. God's gift of the law to his people was not so that they could form schools of law in order to manipulate it and to get around it and to not break it by going around this way and that way and doing these extraordinary things. The invitation of the law was so that they would know the good and that they would do it. That they would hear the orphan's plea, that they would defend the widow, that they would seek justice, not only for themselves, but for others. Do the good, he says. Jesus confirms legitimate authority, the chair of Peter. They have the chair, excuse me, the chair of Peter. That was a slip. The chair of Moses, right? They have the authority, the chair of Moses. They sit in it. So as they tell you, do. But don't follow their example. One would hope that their examples would reflect what they are saying. But Jesus is calling them out on it and says, they are saying one thing, but they are doing another. Be obedient to what they say because they sit with proper authority and they're speaking the truth. But don't look to them for the example. We get into this whole thing, rabbi, father, master. Seemingly these are all expressions of endearment, expressions of honoring someone. You know, calling somebody teacher, being their disciple, calling them teacher, rabbi, master. it hits us different ways depending on our culture, these words, Father. It's an expression of endearment. They are being honored. They collect these titles, these letters behind their name, all of these things. If they are not living examples, they're taking the first positions and all of these things. But Jesus says to us, the greatest among you must be your servant. He doesn't say, do not be great. Because we can hear that and we can assume. Jesus is saying, nope, you cannot be great. No excellence here. Be everyone mediocre. And then you will be humble. Not what he says. He says, if you want to be the greatest among you must be your servant. He's telling us how to do it. Right? That was instructional. That was not a condemnation. He says, if you want to be the greatest, if you want excellence, if you want to be a witness, an example, then follow me and be the servant of all. In your service of others, you will be the greatest. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Humbled, my brothers and sisters, humbled. Be very clear. This has turned into like four different homilies, but hopefully everybody walks away with something today. Let's be very clear. Humility is truth. Humility is truth about who you are. Pride, an exaltation of yourself, one, it doesn't exist only in your head. It's not grounded in truth. And so you have great effort, great energy to keep it alive because it doesn't exist. This exalted person that I portray, that I give out to others, that I say, this is who I am, does not exist. And we have to go through great effort to keep that sucker alive because it doesn't exist. Do you understand? To the other extreme, to self-deprecate, to speak less of your ability, to speak less of your talents or your gifts, to speak less of who you are, someone who is made in the image and likeness of God, to put yourself down because you think that that is humble, is false humility, and it is also wrong. At the end of the day, we are who we are. Nothing more, nothing less. But the beautiful thing is that person, that humble person, is actually alive. That person actually exists. And I don't have to keep that person alive by my self-deprecating remarks or my prideful remarks. And rather than focusing on keeping myself alive in the illusion of who I am, I can simply be. And I can make a gift of that person. Because now I am free to focus on something else other than myself. The greatest among you will be the servant. The greatest among us will imitate Jesus in his service of others. Can we be great, my brothers and sisters? Yes, we can. If we humbly imitate our Lord and Savior. Amen.